beginning the Gospel of John, but we're going to start with Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Actually, I'll go back to 28. It says, and Paul's writing this, he says, "We know, or we are absolutely sure, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes." Verse 29 is where I want to launch into John from. It says this, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined." Don't let that word trouble you. Some people worry about this word predestined and predestination, and what does that all mean? Let me substitute it with the word pre-purposed. Okay? God purposed or determined from the very beginning, or his desire from the very beginning was that we would be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Okay, that's God's purpose. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be the firstborn amongst many brothers. And so that is where I would like to launch into the Gospel of John from. Because John, the writer, was the disciple who was known as the one whom Jesus loved. It's the one who Jesus gave the responsibility of caring for his mother when he was crucified on the cross. John was an intimate with Jesus. Matthew, a close disciple, a follower. Mark, Luke, followers of Jesus who told what they had studied and come to know. But John, the writer of this gospel, is one who walked with Jesus. And we're going to come at it from a couple of different angles, but I have a feeling that the Gospel of John is going to take us a while. If in a year and a half we've got through Galatians, actually, let me ask, what else have we done? James? Anyone here a little further back? Galatians. We did Galatians? I don't know. Did we do Colossians? Anyone remember what books we've studied? We've got a shot at Colossians. We've got a shot at Philippians. We've got a shot at Ephesians now. What was it? Should we go back and do them all again? We talked about relationships too. We also talked about worship. But there's not a book called Relationships. It's one of the old prophetic books. We are going through the gospel. Because if God purposed that we be conformed to the likeness of Christ, we better get as close to him as we can. John chapter 20, verse 31. John basically here is saying why he has made this record. He says Jesus did lots of miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples. They're not recorded in this book, but what I've recorded is recorded that what? Someone read it like loud and confidently so that... Okay. Read it again, loud. You may, what's before that?
But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is
There you go. What is recorded here is written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you might have life in that name. So it's not just that we have life in his name, it's that we might believe. John is written, the things that are recorded that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Messiah, is the one. This is vital that we get it. That's why we're studying the Gospel of John, that we might see that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. So we go back to John chapter 1, and we're going to probably go over a little bit tonight, but what I can move through, I will. I'll pick it up next week if I have to. I won't drag it on forever. But John chapter 1, I'm going to flip to two places where John writes. John chapter 1, and then also 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says this, "The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness," and the NIV says, "but the darkness has not understood it." A closer translation is, "the darkness has not overwhelmed it. The darkness has not overcome it." 1 John chapter 1. And I would encourage you, when you're reading the Bible, read from a variety of translations. I tend to read NIV or New Living Translation. I read the Message alongside sometimes, then I'll flip to New King James Version. I don't personally read the Old King James Version because I find the language can be very difficult. And you can misunderstand stuff if you don't still speak in Old English. But at the same time, if you have questions, you come to a passage which is different or uses different words, then go back and read what the words were in the Greek. Now that might sound really difficult to you, but there are heaps of very cool Bible programs that you can do it with. You can do it online. But study, read. Don't just listen to someone speak. Study it for yourself. 1 John chapter 1. John writing again says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this is what we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We've seen it and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you that eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and we have heard, so that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete." So John again here says, "I'm declaring to you that we've seen him, that which was from the beginning," the same theme. He who is the Word, who was with Christ, with God in the beginning of all creation. We have now seen him. We have touched him. We've heard him. We have physically encountered him, and we are declaring it out of that. This is the foundation to John's teaching. It's so important that we get it. It's not just something that he's writing that he's heard people talk about. John says, "That which was from the beginning we've now seen, we've encountered and we've heard and we have touched." And that person, him, the Word of life, is God. This is what is so significant about Jesus. This is what sets Jesus aside from any other leader of any religion. There is no other leader who has been identified as God dwelling amongst men. There are lots of people that say they're Jesus. There are many of them who are criminally insane. And it's amazing how often the Jesus theme comes up. But this here is those who walked with Jesus, who knew him, who knew the Hebrew scriptures, who knew the prophecies of the Messiah who would come, who now say, this is him. I want to write a couple of things that are comparison, and they're comparison also with Genesis chapter 1, and then I'll tell you why it's significant. Genesis 1 says this, in the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless, and it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was there hovering over the waters. And verse 3 of Genesis 1 says this, and God said, and God spoke, God declared. And I can't imagine that moment. I can't even begin to comprehend it. And he says what? Let there be light. In the midst of darkness and a formless void, a voice rings out and says, let there be light. That's the moment that this whole thing begins. This is why I don't struggle with the size of the universe. I don't struggle with finding, you know, galaxies that are 400 billion light years away. I don't struggle with that. There are people that have big arguments about, you know, creation and evolution and time and distance and shifts and all these different views of the universe. But if our little Earth is here and we have our very clever telescopes that are on the same dot, and they can see, you know, light from these galaxies and apparently the new images, I haven't looked at them all yet, from the new lenses that they put on the Hubble telescope are starting to come through. And they are just seeing deeper and deeper and deeper into space. And they're finding these galaxies that right now are something like 400 billion light years away, which means the light from these stars that they're seeing here, I want to draw a line along the wall, but I'd get in trouble if I did it. People go, well, it took all this time for light to get there because there was this big bang, explosive force, and things start traveling and forming in the distant places, and we have star birthing galaxies and all sorts of mass out there and dark matter and who knows what else. And people go, wow, that's a lot of time for light to travel if we're just seeing it. But here's what I believe. If God goes, let there be light, then this existed. It's not like it took this little bit of light that was emitted from a star here. You know, and Earth's sort of doing its thing over here, and this light's like, you know, and who knows what else is happening, but here comes this light. And then all of a sudden we get really excited because our telescope sees it. We go, that's how old the universe has to be. Because no, it doesn't mean that at all. I believe God just went, let there be light. We don't have to argue about time and distance and space and light and traveling and all that. I think it's wonderful to explore it. I think it's brilliant to think about it. But don't let it like freak you out and cause this difficulty, because if God can say, let there be light, there can be 400 billion light years of light and more in that amount of time. That's what I believe the creative power and force of the living God is, that he speaks and it happens. and he speaks, and out of the heart of God is land, and out of the heart of God is water, and he speaks, and there are plants, and he speaks, and there are animals, and he speaks, and birds, and he speaks, and fish, and out of the heart of God is this creative power, and he's just speaking, and it's happening. I don't have a problem with that. And the funny thing is that neither really did the Greeks of the day. And it's interesting, when John is writing, he writes in a way here that the Jewish people would hear what he's writing, that which was from the beginning. Actually, I'll go back to, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Hebrew listeners, the Jewish listeners, would take that and they'd go, he's talking about Genesis. He's talking about our forefather Moses and his revelation of God. And the Jews would take this and go, man, this is tough, because what John is saying, that Jesus was with God and was God, and that ties Genesis in, that he was the spoken word that was the power of God to bring life, and that would have started a whole process of thinking in the Jewish mind. But it would have started a huge process of thinking in the Greek mind. Because there's a word that is used when he says the Word was and Tim said, let that light be gone. I don't really have that authority. I just have this eraser. John, we're done with that too. The Greek mind had this word that they knew, logos. And that's the word that is used here. In the beginning was this logos. And that logos was with God. And that logos was God. And he was there at the beginning of all of this. And he says, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And he begins to use this word, and to the Greek mind and the language that this was written in, and him declaring this, this word is really like, for lack of a better description, the idea in Star Wars, this force. The Greek mind believed that there was a force, a rational organizing force of the universe, and it was referred to as this word logos. The Stoics were the one who said it's the rational principle that governs the universe. There are great Greek philosophers who referred to logos as the soul of the universe, as the life force of the universe that governed all things. And in fact, they were the ones who said if people were governed by passions or emotions, they were out of touch or out of line with the logos of the universe. That's fascinating to me. That wired into the philosophical mind of the day is this idea that there is a rational principle governing the universe. And John comes along and goes, you want to know who the Logos is? Let me introduce you to that which you just think is an impersonal, rationalizing, principalized force of the universe. I'm going to tell you who he is. It's the same thing that Paul does on Mars Hill, where he to his writers is walking down an avenue of the gods, and he's looking at all their gods, and he comes to the unknown God, and he goes, wow, you are seriously religious people, and I see that you are devout in all of this, but see this one here? Let me introduce you to him. And I love, you know, there's a book that has been written that's just called Eternity in Their Hearts. And that God has wired in people this God-shaped piece of a puzzle. And that's what John is written to. He's to a broad audience, to the Jewish mind. And you got to look that in the day, this was like the center of culture. The Middle East, the Mediterranean basin, this was the theocratic society, the Jewish society, and it's the Greek society, the philosophical society. And John, right in the middle of it, says, let me tell you who this is. In the midst of your theocratic, you know, doctrinal study, in the midst of all your philosophizing and your thinking and trying to work out this universe we live in, there's one person that the entire thing hangs on. And it is Jesus. And it's Jesus who we have seen and we have heard and we have touched. And John just has this beautiful way that he doesn't even try. And, you know, if you read Matthew or you read Luke, you start to see, you know, an organizational strategy of the lineage of Jesus and where he came from and the fulfillment of him in Scripture. But John just goes right to it and says, I'll tell you who the source of everything is, and I'm not even going to debate it with you. I'm not even going to try and work out genealogies with you. I am just telling you the force behind the universe, the force behind the spoken word of God, creation, is Jesus. And what he comes to at the end is he says, the only reason I'm telling you this for one purpose alone, that I've written this book and recorded the things he's done and the things he's said, is that you might know that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God. That's what this study of John is going to be about. That's what we're going to look into here. Some very simple things, and I'm going to wrap it up fairly quickly. I have a lot of pages of notes, and I'm halfway down the first one. This is as far as we're going to get. The things that John says and affirms in both places. In John 1:1, he says it is he who is from the beginning. In John chapter 1, he says that the Word was with God in the beginning. In 1 John, John is writing and saying, this is he who we have seen and we have heard and we have touched and we have had interaction with. And John, writing in the Gospel of John, or the writings about Jesus, is really tying him back to the beginning. But he says the physical person and the Word revealed person was there in the beginning. He says that all things were made through him. In John chapter 1, he says, in him was life. In 1 John chapter 1, again, he who is seen, he says, he's the Word of life, and that life appeared to us. And John in chapter 1 of the Gospel says, and that life was the light of men. And my desire as we go into this is not that we just fill our heads with information about Jesus, not that we just marvel at the things recorded that he has done, not even that we become moved by what he took on himself through the passion of the cross, although we will come to that because it's a major portion of John's Gospel. But I'd come back to John chapter 20 and verse 31. The purpose we're looking at this is that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the hope of all mankind, and that you may have relationship with God through him. And I'm going to leave it there. I hope also that if you have people you know that question this, that want to know why do we believe Jesus Why do we follow Jesus? John is such a great place to look. And I'd encourage you to invite him, to come and think with us, to come and look at this, to come and journey through it together. Because I want people to know Jesus. Let me pray. Father, you are Creator. God Almighty, Jesus, you who were there at the beginning of all creation, through whom all things were created, and though that's very difficult to fit in our heads, you are revealed as God. Spirit of the living God who was there at creation, hovering over the waters. Would you reveal the person of Jesus to us? Would you reveal your purposes in sending him, Father, as your Son, into our human existence? Ultimately, your purpose in the cross. But I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see life, and that that life would become the light of us and through us and by your Spirit, the light of other men and women. Because God, I love that you've declared that your purpose, that you purposed from the very beginning, is that we would be conformed to the likeness of your Son, Jesus. So capture our hearts. Work that purpose in us. And Father, I do pray as we close that your Spirit would work in us, that we would walk humbly with one another. And God, that we would see your kingdom established in our midst, and we would see your will accomplished in our midst. And I say thank you for the privilege, but Lord, also the responsibility of speaking your word. And God, I thank you that you are faithful and that you are good. Thanks. Amen. Amen.